Hello, and welcome to Multiform, an Xbox podcast. Every week, we get together to talk about the news and the games we've been playing. This is episode 94. I'm Tim Shelton, and this week I'm joined by Gus Harden.
Hello.
So, right before we were recording, we're recording a little bit early this week because I have family coming to visit from out of town, and that so it's Friday and Xbox Live is currently down. Well, sort of. I think you can play online, but friends list and parties are broken. So that kind of stinks when everybody is, you know, social distancing, stuck in their house trying to play video games. But to be fair, it has held up pretty well during the strain of the kind of volumes of people that have been playing Xbox Live the last 2 months. So whatever.
Yeah, it could be worse.
Okay.
Yeah. What was the game that had a, like a notoriously bad launch, like server wise? Was it a Call of Duty game or was it Battlefield? I feel like it was Battlefield, well, like 4.
Battlefield 4 was pretty bad.
That's right.
Red Dead Online, or not Red Dead, Grand Theft Auto Online, the original launch.
Yes.
It was down for like a week and you could not get in.
Yep, I remember that.
What was another one that was notoriously bad?
I could have sworn there was like an EA game. There was like another EA game that was like particularly bad. And it was like a, not like because people were like, I don't want to play this. It's just because like their servers couldn't handle it.
Yeah, I can't remember. Also, I was going to ask you and Spencer over the weekend, or not over the weekend. Actually, earlier today, I meant to message you. Did both of you guys play Titanfall 2, the story campaign?
No, I didn't.
I was going to say, I don't think either of you did.
Yeah, I definitely did not. Titanfall was never a game, like, not that I, like, didn't care to play it. It was just, well, I guess I never cared to play it, and I never actually got into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that long. It's, like, 6 to 8 hours, but it's really, really good. One of the best shooter campaigns just, like, of this generation.
Multiplayer thing was, like, this whole aspect, and that was, like, my whole, I was, like, in the middle of, like, my single player only, yeah, it was, like, my single player only phase, I guess, of gaming, where it's, like, I had kind of waned away from playing multiplayer games, not because I like didn't have people to play with, but just because like I felt like I wasn't good at them anymore because I hadn't played them in so long.
But yeah, I kind of go through phases where I play a ton of multiplayer games like Apex Legends, PUBG, Call of Duty, Halo, Gears of War, and then I'll go through a phase where I'm only playing single player games, which is basically lately, like I've been playing Fallout 76, and well, we'll get into that in a minute. Yeah, actually, let's go right into that. So let's talk about what we've been playing. I'm going to let you go first because mine will segue better into the news.
Right. Yeah, mine's nothing really new anyway. I dabbled a bit with Red Dead 2. I was just doing some challenges, doing some random basic stuff like kill 5 birds on a moving train, which is like more annoying than it sounds because you have to find a train, and two, you have to like, if you wait too long, the guards on the train will be like, what are you doing up there? And then they'll like, you'll like get a wanted level. Or it's like, as soon as you start shooting, they're like, what the heck's going on the train? And like, cause it's, you basically have to wait. Like I waited to find like a whole bunch of, random birds that would pop up. And then I went dead eye and started trying to shoot them all. And on my first try, I only got like 3 because I was using the varmint rifle and it like didn't do enough damage to the, like a couple of the birds. So they didn't count as kills, which is really annoying. And then I basically got like I accrued like an $100 plus bounty just from like trying to jump on these trains and do that. And I was like, whatever. So that was what I was doing on that. My Marvel Ultimate Alliance hard playthrough is going swimmingly now that my characters are actually leveled up enough that I can actually do that. I'm like halfway through it probably right now. When you know as much about the game as I do at this point, you basically just like go through the motions of beating it. Honestly, I would almost say I don't know if I have more playthroughs of Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 or like Mass Effect 3. Probably pretty close, honestly. All things considered.
I still wonder if the Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 that they did on Switch, if that like after maybe 1 year, has it been a year of exclusivity yet? I wonder if that's ever going to come to console.
I mean, I would play it on Xbox if it did. I don't know.
I can't remember. I think Nintendo might have published it, but again, that doesn't totally preclude it. They could just get a different publisher to bring it to other systems. But if Nintendo paid to have it developed, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm. And then I was just playing Call of Duty. I played a lot of Warzone one night. I played regular multiplayer for like 3 hours, and then I played like Warzone for like 3 hours, like a couple days ago. And that was like the most that I've played Call of Duty like in the last like couple weeks. Like honestly, and since like Warzone came out, it's like probably the most that I've played it. But I was having a lot of fun with it. I'm like slowly getting better. I only ever play hardcore. Hardcore is so much more fun to me than regular, just because I prefer like the fast paced. For me, it's like I prefer like slow paced stuff like Battlefield, where I can just like, it's like very slow pace and I like have to run around, do my own thing. I get in tanks, choppers, whatever. Or it has to be like straight up run and gun, kind of like Doom. Doom is like essentially like Call of Duty's, what is it? It's like, it's called Dirty Old Houseboat. They have a playlist where it's only like their three very close quarters maps: Rust, Shipment, and Shoot House. And basically, you're only ever on those three maps, and it's hard. And since it's hardcore, it's like people die immediately. So that is like the most fun to me. Like I said, it reminds me a whole lot of Doom, basically just running and gunning, running around, this whole bunch of explosions, gunfire everywhere. And I have a really good time with it. I die a lot, but I don't really care about my KD ratio. I'm not like some sort of pro who actually cares about that kind of stuff. At least not like I used to. But I've been having a lot of fun with that. I'll probably play it again tonight after we're done with this. So that's pretty much what I've been up to the last week.
Yeah, the new Call of Duty is a really great game, which it's been a long time since I've been able to say that about a Call of Duty. I think the last time I really would endorse a Call of Duty was Black Ops 2, I think was the last one that I really liked. But
yeah, I can't even remember the last Call of Duty that I like truly played. Maybe, honestly, it might have been like Modern Warfare. No, that's not true. It was probably like Black Ops. Black Ops was probably like the last one that I like really played a lot. Cause I remember I never actually got Modern Warfare 3 when it came out. I don't know why I didn't get it. I think I had like just started college or something, and I just wasn't interested in buying a multiplayer game. Cause that came out in what, 2012 or 13? I think it was 12 actually.
No, it was 2011, like, because was I it? Played it with my my now wife before we were married.
That's right. I don't know why I didn't buy it then. That's weird. I think I was too busy. Oh, I was playing Battlefield. Playing Battlefield is why I was like, I don't play Call of Duty anymore. Battlefield is a superior game, and I was like, oh my.
Yeah, there used to be that hardcore rivalry between
the
two.
Yeah, it was like Battlefield, Halo, and that's right. I was playing Halo Reach and Battlefield 3 all the time. That's what it was.
So what I've been playing, I tried out Streets of Rage 4, which is a old school like beat 'em up arcade style game. It's a sequel.
Is it like
to
a side scroller?
Yeah, it's a side scroller. It's in the vein of, I don't know if you played the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade
Isn't
game
that
back
like,
in the
it's
day.
It's like where you can like, you have like a full screen. You kind of like walk up the screen and stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. You walk up the screen, left and right, up and down, and it's a side scroller.
Those are so funny to watch people play, or just to like see get played, because they're so weird.
Yeah, so it's exactly like that. It's a sequel to Streets of Rage 1, 2, and 3, which were Genesis era games, but it's a really great modern version of, like, they updated the graphics and everything to make it look really good, but it plays just like those old games. So that's really cool. I downloaded that to play co-op with a friend. I haven't tried it co-op yet. I've also Apex Legends has this season-long, I don't know what you call it, but it's like a PvP or a PvE event. So you get these little treasure packs, one a day. They drop in matches, and after you get one a day, you basically like collect clues, and then once a week they unlock a hunt, and you drop into the map with no other players, just you and your squad, and you fight some sort of alien. In this case, it was like the dog enemies from, I think they were in Titanfall, but I can't remember. And you extract this piece of an artifact, and then you have to escape. Just like how in Titanfall 1 and 2, you had to escape at the end of a multiplayer match. And then supposedly at the end of the season, if you've extracted all of the artifacts in these little quests, you will unlock some additional cool cosmetics. So I did the first one of those. It was surprisingly short. Like, you literally dropped in, ran to an area, fought some enemies along the way, fought a couple more waves of enemies, and then extracted. It's set during nighttime. not anything too fancy, but you could see how that could become something way more advanced as they continue to iterate on what the PvE and quest content is in Apex Legends beyond just being a battle royale game, or like, you know, it's supplemental. It's still a battle royale game. But I really didn't play a ton of Apex this week compared to other weeks because two games have been dominating my week this week. The first one is Fallout 76. So I forget what it was, but I dropped into Fallout 76 one night to check out more of the app. What's it called? Wastelanders update, where they added, what do you call them? NPCs.
Non-player. Is it non-player computer or is it just non-player controlled character? Or non-player character is what it is.
Non-player character, NPC. And so I started building my base and doing quests and all this stuff. And next thing I know, an entire day had gone by. And so the next day I convinced my friend to re-download the game and play with me. And another night went by and another and another and another.
Been, like, all in on Fallout 76 recently.
Yeah, I think I played it 5 or 6 days in a row and didn't play any other games besides that. The only thing I did was drop into Apex Legends to go and get the treasure chest that I was just mentioning for my one a day to keep my progress with the event. But that was it. So I have to be somewhere at like, I've easily played 20, 30, 40 hours of Fallout 76 this week. And I really have to say, as much as I crapped on the game, well, actually, I didn't as much as you guys did because I actually played it at launch. It is really improved. Having NPCs and people to talk to and dialogue trees, like, it just completely changes the game. It feels more like other Fallout games. It still has some jank because of the online nature of it. It still is not an offline game. But if you want a Fallout game to play with your friends in co-op, this is that, and it's really good at being that. My only real complaint about it at this point is it's a little grindy for some of the materials.
Well, that's how that kind of game is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not unlike Destiny 1. Like, I ground for materials forever. I was the one of the rarest things is screws. Like, you have to look for like typewriters and other things to break down to get screws. And
I remember doing that in Fallout 4, like trying to like finding adhesive. Oh my gosh!
Now,
adhesive, thing in the world.
I don't have a lot of problems with adhesive because in Fallout 76, you can make it by planting certain crops and then turning them into vegetable starch, which is
that
an adhesive.
In Fallout 4, at least that I know of. You could only ever find it in like duct tape. Or there was like one other place. It was like a glue canister or whatever. You could find adhesive, and you always needed it for weapon mods.
Yeah. So last night I was with my friend and I were playing co-op, and we got to the far east side of the map where all the highest level enemies were, and we're both running around in power armor the entire full sets of power armor the entire night, just like killing every high level enemy we run into. And I don't know. For some reason, right now, it is a game that fits perfectly with what I'm looking for. So I already had Fallout 4 and Fallout New Vegas installed. Fallout 4, I still have some stuff to do. I've never played Fallout New Vegas, but I also downloaded Fallout 3 because I'm kind of, right now while I'm on this Fallout kick, I kind of just want to compare the different features in the game. So I'm going to kind of dip into each of them. And also, on a totally side note, I just saw in the news that they're getting ready to add Fallout Shelter to Teslas, which I have. So I'll be able to play Fallout literally in my car, on my car touchscreen, or on my phone, or on my Xbox. It's just a lot of Fallout right now. So moving on from Fallout, though, and actually this goes perfectly into the news. Today is actually the launch day for Saints Row 3 Remastered. So our first news story, if you want to call it the news, is to talk about Saints Row Remastered and what they delivered with this remaster. So I've been calling this the summer of remasters. I think I tweeted out a couple weeks ago a list of all the games being remastered this year, and it's grown by several games in the last week because we had Tony Hawk pop up, and we've already had Resident Evil and Final Fantasy VII come out. So there's just a lot of remasters this year. Some of them are really good. Some of them not so good. So depending on what they're doing or whether it's a cash grab. So let's talk about Saints Row 3. First, I want to plug something. Digital Foundry, a great YouTube channel, they've done a deep dive on the tech of the remaster, like what they've upgraded, and they've got video side by side. definitely go check that out because it's really cool to see how much they kind of fawn all over the game for how great of a remaster this is for a 9-year-old game. Because if you compare this to Fallout 4, or not Fallout 4, Saints Row 4, they ported, remember that, at the beginning of the generation, and it was a straight port. They didn't change any assets. All they did was crank up the resolution, porting it over, and it was kind of just the same game. This isn't that. This has entirely new character models, entirely new texture pipeline, entirely new lighting, entirely new assets. It's not 4K, it's 1440p, but it will run at 60 frames per second if you unlock the frame rate on Xbox One X, or it's capped at 30 and it runs at a solid 30 on the other consoles if you leave it capped. And it just looks good. It looks pretty dang good for a 9-year-old game. It's really impressive what they've done. So I started playing that today. I had to do a bunch of stuff in my yard to get ready for the weekend where we're going to have guests. But when I finally got to it, I can't believe how much, like, if I were to go off the graphical improvements, it looks more like a 3 or 4-year-old game and less like a 9-year-old game. And I just can't believe that. Yeah. Honestly, I was expecting the same game with better models for the cars and the guns because they talked about those two things and better lighting. And that's all I was expecting because that's all they really sold us on it.
I watched, because I didn't buy it. I wanted to see what it looked like. So I watched like the beginning of the game where you were like robbing the bank. So I was watching that. And I was like, geez. Like, it's like the lighting is really good. The shading's the shaders are really good. Texture's really good. Gat looks the same. The chick whose name escapes me for whatever reason, it doesn't start with like an L or something. It's like Lucy or
I can't remember it either. And I literally played it 20 minutes ago.
Right. She looks kind of different. I remember I was like, she was like my first video game simp crush because I was just like, oh, this chick's awesome.
Her side by side is a big difference because she was very, like, generic girl in the first iteration. Yeah,
generic
of the game.
Model chick essentially was what she was. So
I'm not very far into it because it only came out today. I didn't get early access, so I'll probably have more thoughts as I play it over the next week or two. And I know Spencer bought it too. Actually, I didn't buy it. Spencer bought his copy and my copy. Shout out to Spencer for that.
Wait, did he really? He actually did?
Yeah, he gifted me a coffee today. I was getting ready to buy it too because, and he's like, check your email.
Money bags.
Well, yeah, that's true. He's the only one of us.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he bought it too and he had it preloaded, but he's traveling this whole weekend, so he won't even get to play it until Monday or Tuesday, or I don't even know when he's coming back, but hopefully he gets to play it before the next week's show and he'll have his thoughts. But the one thing that doesn't hold up as great is the joystick, like the movement of the camera, it doesn't feel as kind fluid as games these days. Like, yeah, I think it's the aim acceleration. I think when you move the joystick one way, it doesn't go immediately to move at a steady pace. It slowly accelerates. So even though I have the look sensitivity turned way up,
I think I remember that being delayed. Like a feature in the original game. It was like,
yeah, I mean,
a
lot of games have, what do you call it? Aim acceleration, but some games let you adjust it. And this is like the Halo games when they did the recent remasters for Halo and they just put a new patch out on Xbox for Halo 2 anniversary. They have a modern control checkbox, so you can actually play the old Halo games with modern controls, and they've adjusted sensitivity of the look and some other things to feel more like more modern games like Halo 5 and Call of Duty and these others.
So it's less jarring when you try to hop into it.
Yeah, and I mean, in your brain, you think that Halo 1 felt the way games do now, but it didn't. It's just your brain doesn't recognize that difference because it was slow over time. And if you were to compare Halo 5 to Halo 1 side by side, the aiming would feel drastically different.
Yeah, it's like playing, what is it? I don't know. I just blanked on what I was going to talk about. There's like a game series in particular where it's like if you go back to like the old ones, then it's like there's like a definite difference. It escapes me, but it's like a really weird, it's like a jarring thing. It's like you go back and you play the old ones for like some nostalgia, and you're like, this is like unplayable because of either like how it looks or like how it moves. I think it might be Assassin's Creed, honestly, because it's like if you like, it's like, yeah, it's like I want to go back and I want to play the original couple Assassin's Creed, but it's like nigh impossible because the control scheme is so different.
Yeah, and in Digital Foundry's video, they said something to the effect of, this game looks like in your brain you thought the 2011 game looked, but like when you actually go back to the 2011 game, like the textures are all muddy, there's a lot of gray, the lighting is very like hot and cold, there's no texture, like layers, there's no reflections, yeah. Everything is just kind of muddy. And apparently the 360 version, I didn't realize this, but this is what they said. The 360 version was one of the worst versions at launch of Saints Row 3 because it had some choppiness and things to it. So it's way different now, especially on Xbox One X. I'm running it with the uncapped frame rate, which is almost a locked 60 frames per second. So that just feels really smooth. Yeah. But anyway, I've never finished Saints Row 3. Right. I was one of those people in that era where I played Grand Theft Auto and I didn't play Saints Row. I never finished a Saints Row game.
I didn't play the first two. Saints Row 3 is, in fact, the only Saints Row game that I've actually played. I never played 4. I mean,
technically, I've played all 4, but I haven't finished any of them.
Right. Like, 4, like, you would think for how much I liked Saints Row 3, I think maybe I burned myself out on it between that and Grand Theft Auto 5. Like, I just, like, wasn't into, like, those... that particular kind of game anymore, like I guess real life
crime simulator.
Yeah, I guess crime, yeah, essentially, yeah. Do whatever you want simulator, and yeah, so I think, which is, yeah, me not playing Saints Row 4 I guess would come as a shock to most people, I guess, just because I loved Saints Row 3 and I played it all the time with me, like Spencer and I would play it all the time in high school.
Saints Row 4 always felt like a cash grab because it's the same map. Yeah. And it's just set in like an AI universe or virtual reality.
That's partially why I didn't buy it, because it was like the same game. So I was like, yeah, I don't really care to play this.
And the superpowers feel out of place. The cars feel pointless. I don't know. The whole thing. I tried to go back to it leading up to Saints Row 3 Remastered, and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I saw this tweet about how it was just like, it's like some guy says like Saints Row used to be the best thing ever until they added superpowers, and then they're like, you're like, what the heck? I was like, yeah, that's basically what it was. It was like, because it was basically like a GTA clone until like 3, and then 3 was kind of more of like a campy take on Grand Theft Auto, where you just like, it was like over the top craziness, like action movie level stuff, whereas I would consider GTA more of like a those old school Italian like mob movies, and then you have something like Saints Row, which is more like the Die Hard series or something, where it's just like it's just over the top action. And that jump was like very clear between 2 and 3, because I remember using the Penetrator, the large bat. You'll get to see it. You already know what it is, but you'll get to use it.
Yeah. Also, since this is includes all the DLC, there's some like costumes and things that are unlocked when you open the game. You don't have to like buy them or anything.
Cool.
And
that way, when
my
you're editing your
one,
package size, like we'll get to do in Cyberpunk.
Yeah. One of the costumes is basically Wonder Woman. It's like, I forget what it's called, but Atlantean armor or something. But it's you could tell it's supposed to be Wonder Woman.
Right.
And it looks like that, only completely parodied out of control, you know, like there's pieces of it missing to make it more revealing,
yeah, gratuitous.
And things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although it is still pretty stylish and it's not as revealing as you'd think. Right. They didn't, it's not bad, but
yeah.
Anyway,
just edit your cup size.
It's called, what is it called? Sex appeal.
That's right. Yes, that's right. Oh man. I was trying to remember what it was called for this whole time. Sex appeal.
So I'm going to tell a fun story that I'm glad Spencer isn't on the podcast for this, since I'm married to his sister. So I'm making my character for Saints Row 3 Remastered, and my wife comes into the room and
please
I'm trying
to
make
editing
it.
That.
I, what?
Please tell me you were editing that, like when she came in.
Well, I sort of, So I told her I'm trying to make my character look kind of like you, because I'm making a female character. And so I'm like, I think I got the hair right. They had a, you know, a shoulder length hair that I made with the same hair as my wife's color. And then I was telling her about the sex appeal slider, just as an, a point of interest that I thought she would find interesting. And then I told her it goes from 0 to 100. 50 is the like starting place. And that means you have like average size chest area. Right. And I was like, so I adjusted that to a certain value. And she's like, and so I'm assuming you gave me 100, right? And I'm like, no, I didn't. I actually gave you 60. And she's like, why not 100? And I was like, because they'd be the size of basketballs.
Yeah, they are that big.
They're like,
for anybody who hasn't played
beach balls.
Yeah.
They let you go comedically large is what I would say. So like if 50, imagine if 50 is average and 60 is slightly above average, then that's, you know.
Yeah, Dolly Parton ain't got nothing on the 100 sex appeal scale for Saints Row 3.
And for the male side, it does the pants area, and it also gets comedically large if you want. But
it is hilarious.
And even doing only 50 or 60, it's still
like, even then it's like, whoa.
Yeah, it's still like running makes me uncomfortable because things are moving.
Oh, anyway, man. Can't wait for Cyberpunk.
Yeah, that's a different Cyberpunk is so serious compared to how campy this is.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure we will have lots more on Saints Row 3 next week, because by next week Spencer will have played it and I will be pretty deep into it. All right. So
yeah, that'll be your guys' moment, because I'll be gone.
Oh yeah, you're traveling next week.
Yep.
I'm just trading out one co-host for another.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to our second story. So Call of Duty has had, I don't know if I should call this a leak or a rumor. So sources have told Eurogamer that the name of the next Call of Duty title, and they say it is Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, and it's being developed by Treyarch, which we had previously heard. So what's interesting about this is they obviously it's going to be called Call of Duty, but they feel like they need to keep the Black Ops name, because that has some besides Modern Warfare, that's their sub brand that has the most
like name recognition.
Yeah, name recognition, brand appeal, whatever you want to call it. So this game is basically three game titles smashed together. Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War. Is there a colon? Is there a hyphen? Is it Call of Duty, Black Ops, colon, Cold
War? It's like a Star Trek Into Darkness where it's like there's no colon at all. So it's like Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah. Or Spencer.
Call of Duty, Black Ops, Cold War.
I think it was me and Spencer talking about Solo, a Star Wars story. It's like,
oh,
why?
That's right.
Why wasn't it just Star Wars Rogue One?
Because it was Rogue One,
Star Wars
Solo. Wars story.
I know, but why wasn't it just Star Wars colon Solo? Star Wars colon Rogue One.
Solo, where they just don't even worry about. I guess you wouldn't. Maybe people are like, well, I didn't know it was a Star Wars movie if you don't put it's a like Star Wars story on there. Speaking
also,
of, are we even like getting another one of those? Just a quick aside, like anytime soon, besides like Disney Plus shows.
Well, like not had for something. A few years, but there is there's three different Star Wars projects that I'm aware of in the movie arena, because they gave one to what's the director? Taika Waititi is doing one,
right?
And then somebody got a trilogy that they're working on. I can't remember who that was. And then there's one other person. Didn't
it's
John
not the Game
Favreau?
Of Thrones brothers? Because
no, they already got
they,
fired. I think
they pieced out.
Was it Ed? Was it Trevorrow?
Maybe.
Is he the
know.
One that got fired? I can't remember. There's too much.
Yeah.
If you look
too
at
much
the history
turnover,
of.
It seems like.
Yeah. The history of Star Wars since episode 7, the number of directors that have come onto a project, left a project, or been demoted on a project is like insane. Anyway, this isn't a Star Wars podcast. That's for another place,
another
time.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
Spinoff on YouTube.
Yeah.
So I think. I speak for Spencer saying Cold War sounds cool, like as far as a setting, and the Black Ops franchise was always like kind of rooted in the Vietnam and post time frame until they jumped
lost
to the future
completely. Yeah, once they went to Black Ops like 3.
Because
even kind of Black Ops 2, because Black Ops 2 kind of took place in like the future, right?
Well,
or part of it
was like the near future. I think it was like 2025 or something.
Right, it was something weird, and I was like, yeah, I have no interest in that at all. The yeah, Call Black of Duty Ops 3
is my
been,
least favorite yeah. Call of Duty game ever.
Yeah, Call of Duty as like a franchise for me has always been more like about timepieces, and that's why I liked the World War II. I feel like that game could have been done better, but that's kind of water under the bridge at this point, because that game's like what, 2 years old now, or is it? I guess just a year old, year and a half.
No, yeah, it was the last. It wasn't the last one.
No, because Black Ops 4. Was the last one.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it was two years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. So at that point, it is no longer relevant, essentially.
So it seems like, and a lot of fans have asked for this, it seems like what their intent to do is to have the new Cold War game be campaign, multiplayer, and zombies. And so they're teasing kind of a reveal of the next Call of Duty game in Call of Duty Warzone through some hidden messages and some other stuff that people have been decoding. So the thought is that Warzone is going to live on and get new content each time a new Call of Duty game comes out, instead of every year releasing a new Battle Royale game. Because there used to be, what was
it's
it?
A
Blackout?
Live service one, yeah. I feel like that's what they should have just done with Blackout. But I think Blackout for them was more of like a, it was very late into the genre. And I feel like there wasn't like a whole lot of a support for it, like infrastructure wise. I just feel like it was kind of like, that was kind of like their prequel to what they wanted to do with Warzone. So I think, and I've talked about this before, like about games, like certain games probably making more sense for them to do a live service thing for a few years before making a new one. I think like Madden was one of the ones that I talked about, like sports games in general, I feel like should just be a live service game for like platform for like 3 or 4 years before, and then you revamp the engine, come out with a new one, and then you just kind of hop right back into it. But I don't know. Let me ask you a question. Yeah.
Would you pay $10 a month for the Madden live service game?
I don't know about $10. I don't know about $10 a month. $10 a month for me would probably be like, I'll hop back in every couple months or something. Or like, I'd probably pay for it 6 months out of the year, maybe eight, depending on, because that's how, at least for the way I play Madden, it kind of runs its course after 8 months. And then I spend the last like 4 months or whatever waiting for the new one to come out, because it's going to have all the new players, any new rules, any new team movements, new jerseys, whatever. And I feel like those are things you could easily add in a live service game. Now, if it was $5 or like $7.50, like what's Disney Plus, like $7 a month right now? Like I would pay $7, but $10, maybe.
Yeah, you're right. Seven maybe is more reasonable. Yeah, I was just thinking in my head, five is, you know, $60 a year, which means if somebody takes a few years off, they are paying less revenue to Madden than what the full game would have been.
Yeah. And then obviously you have Madden Ultimate Team aside from that, like where they also, that's like where you do your microtransactions, which at that point would be fine to me, because I like, depending on how long I play the game, they're getting their money out of me regardless. But
and I can't really put my finger on it, going back to Call of Duty, but I didn't really like Blackout as much as Warzone. Like I actually think Warzone is,
I think that was like that was their beta testing for a battle royale, I feel like, was what Blackout was.
Yeah, my only real major gripe with Warzone is in Apex Legends, when you die, if you don't get revived and your squad gets wiped, you can hit B and get back to the main menu in a few seconds, and you can queue up for another match and be in the match within 15 seconds. And in Call of Duty, and this is also true of PUBG, if you die and you watch your kill cam and you go back to the lobby and then you queue up for another one, it searches for matchmaking. Okay, that takes, you know, 15, 20 seconds, whatever, if you're, you know, it reasonable. Then it puts you in the map world, but you're not actually in the match. It's just like a practice, you know, while you wait for the lobby to fill up. And so you're just running around shooting people for no reason. You're not accomplishing anything. You can't do challenges. Yeah. And then you have to jump from the plane. And so it takes 2, 3, 4, or 5 minutes with all of that going down. Whereas Apex Legends, within 30 seconds, you're into another match. And it's just, I don't know, losing that time in between every match, it makes failure really painful. Like when you die, especially if it's something that wasn't your fault, like you get jumped from behind or something, it's really frustrating to have to wait 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes to get back into a match. Now, granted, Apex Legends is only 60 players. Call of Duty is 150.
Yeah,
so they got to find a lot more people.
Yeah.
But they also sell 30 million copies every year. So they have more people playing the game, and it's fully cross-platform, which Apex isn't. So I don't know. I feel like they don't have an excuse for that part of it, but.
Yeah, I never really pay attention to in like the pregame lobbies. Like usually it's like I'll ask everybody, hey, like we ready? And we're all like, yeah, we're ready. And then we'll jump in and do a lobby. And at that point, like as soon as we're in like the pregame lobby, I'm just on my phone or just talking. I know I'm not actually like ever shooting anybody or anything. Like, some people are like, they go nuts in like the pregame lobby. For me, it's like I just kind of like, I know it's like it sounds like really esports gamer, but it's like I'm conserving my energy. I just don't really care. I'm just like on my phone or doing like checking Twitter or something. Like it seems like kind of dumb to just like be worrying about killing all these people before you even get into the game, but that's just how just my pregame mantra,
pregame mindset.
What
annoys me is when 160 people drop into generally the same area and just start shooting each other with complete disregard for their own safety, because there's no penalty for dying. You can just go nuts.
Yeah.
There's just gunfire going off everywhere. It's just completely like your earphones are exploding on your ears because there's so many guns going off. It's so loud. And I'm just,
are you so thinking like the pregame lobby or like when you get actual game? Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
No,
it is kind of a lot to take in. So that's why I don't really pay attention to it.
Because no one's conserving ammo. Nobody is like trying to stay alive. Everybody just goes nuts, just unloading all of their weaponry. And it's like blowing my earphones up. So I literally pop my parachute as soon as possible. And I hover to the farthest place away from whoever is like the mass of people. And then I sit in a corner and I'm on my phone.
I thought you were talking about like an actual game. It's like, I think there's only like, I haven't played a whole lot of Warzone, but there's only been like two games where I like actually dropped into like a very large amount of people. And there's like nothing more frustrating than getting down like immediately because of that. That happened to me like twice. And I was just like, yeah, I'm never doing that again. So I always try to like, I always lobby for like far away places that nobody's going to. So I don't have to worry about dying immediately.
Well, there's different strategies.
Yeah. I won't camp. Like, some people just sit inside the circle for the whole game until it closes, which is fine. But that seems boring for me. It's like, I always try to like do a little bit of something.
Yeah, you've got the two camps. You got the people that want to gear up before they get into a fight, and you got the people that just want to get straight to it and start killing. So, so the Cold War sounds cool. I mean, we don't have anything to go off of except for a title, basically. And I feel like we've already known this for a while. I guess more interested in the fact that Warzone is supposedly going to get Black Ops content, maybe, which makes me wonder, like, are they going to bring in characters from the Black Ops franchise to be operators in Warzone? Or
my question is, what kind of weapons
cosmetics
are they going to stick with? If are they just bringing in like just skins, or are they bringing in like full on, like, hey, we're bringing weapons from the new game too, like into this? Like, are they meshing together, or is there going to be like two camps where it's like you can play Warzone Black Ops, and then Warzone Modern Warfare? I'm interested
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. And will we get like a second map Black Ops themed?
Yeah, how much are they going to put in from the new games into Warzone is my question.
I mean, you could do it like PUBG. So PUBG has some guns that only spawn on certain maps. So when you're on the Black Ops themed map, you get Black Ops themed guns from those games.
Right.
And when you're on the Warzone original map, you get Modern Warfare themed guns. Because, you know, some of the map in Warzone is built off of existing.
I can't wait to have the entire country of Vietnam as my playground in Warzone Black Ops.
Well, I mean, there is kind of
my 60s fantasy.
I'm getting flashbacks to the first DLC
for
Far Cry 5. No, Far Cry 5, the
Vietnam
first DLC.
Flashbacks. Oh my God, Tim, are you okay? Do we need to call the VA?
To the Vietnam DLC from Far Cry 5.
I had a lot of fun with that one. Or wait, no, not Far Cry 5. No, I didn't play that one. I thought you were about to mention Bad Company 2. Now that game, I had a whole lot of fun
with. Oh, yeah, I
didn't
play
Bad Company 2 Vietnam. Holy crap, Spencer and I, man, that was so much fun. I would always fly to Huey's.
Ooh. Oh my gosh, I just saw how long we've been talking, and we're only on story 2.
Right.
We're moving on to the news. I got lost.
News. Yeah.
Got lost in the banter.
I don't know. We talked about some good stuff. I don't know.
We did. We did. I've gotten lost in ranting about remasters and Call of Duty.
This is what happens when I have to actually talk during the podcast.
So our third story is about Minecraft. They announced the numbers for the game, and this is staggering. So I know you're a Minecraft player. You and I are both really excited for Minecraft Dungeons to come out next week. They've sold 200 million copies of Minecraft.
Jeez.
Which, for context, Grand Theft Auto 5, which is...
They sold 130 million, right?
Yeah,
but they've also only been out, like... They've been out, like, 3 years less than... Or maybe, was it 4 years?
It's 11 years for Minecraft, and it's 7 years for GTA 5.
So, I guess, yeah. So 4 years less. 2009, I guess, was when, like, the alpha for Minecraft came out. I remember playing that in high school.
So... I looked it up, and the last time they told us how many they'd sold, they had only sold 100 million copies of Minecraft, and that was something like 6 years ago. So they've over doubled the sales since Microsoft acquired Mojang, which is just nuts.
Yeah.
And, okay, so 200 million, that's crazy. What's even crazier is they have 126 million people playing the game monthly. So... Only 70 million are people that aren't playing regularly.
I'm wondering, like, how many of those people are, like, is it counting, like, cumulative logins of, like, the same person seeing how many times they log in? Or is it, like, for each copy that's owned? How do they even keep track of that? That's what I'm wondering. Like, what's their algorithm?
I'm assuming it's based on, because you probably have to have a Microsoft account now to log in.
It's, like, you accessing the game, so I guess I'm wondering, is it when, like, how many times a single person logs into the game or, like, turns on the game, or is it how many different
That's individual
people?
Different people, okay. But it doesn't exactly translate to 200 million copies sold, because, for example, if you came over to my house and logged in on my Minecraft because you didn't own it, that would be two people logging in on the same sold copy. So that 126 million isn't a fraction out of 200.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure there's a whole lot more people who actually play that. And there's probably, you also have to factor in, like, pirated versions of the game or whatever. Or just, like, I wonder, is it just the Xbox version of the game? Or
no, that's all versions. Mobile, PC, PS4, everything. But what's crazy is, think about that. 126 million people play monthly. There's only 130 million copies of GTA 5 ever, which is one of the best-selling games of all time. That's a lot of Minecraft.
Minecraft's fun. What can I say?
Okay, so what I wanted to bring this up, though, is to say Minecraft Dungeons is launching, is it Tuesday?
I don't know. It's coming out
Friday.
It's coming out, like, when I'm leaving, which kind of sucks. So I'm going to be, you'll get to play it for, like, a whole week before I get to.
So is it going to be, like, how big is this going to be? Because it's a different style of game. You don't build as much.
Right.
It's more of an adventure game. It's a dungeon crawling, like, Diablo style game, but it's set in the Minecraft world, which means name recognition. But on the counterpoint, it's going to be in Game Pass on PC and Xbox, so people don't have to buy it to play it. I still feel like these sales are going to blow up because it's on PS4. It's on PC on Steam, probably. I can't remember if it's on Steam, actually. It might be only on the Windows Store. How much do you think this thing's going to sell? I mean, Animal Crossing blew up during quarantine.
Yeah.
Is this going to do those kind of numbers?
You know, I don't know. Animal Crossing and Minecraft Dungeons are two completely different types of games. Just because simply, like, you have Minecraft, which is, like, the actual, like, now Minecraft itself, maybe that's also the 126 million people playing the game monthly is also a product of the time right now. But Animal Crossing, like, I haven't played it, but it's more of, like, a not really a sandbox game where it's like a creative game, like, you build your own thing now, whereas Minecraft Dungeons, I'm assuming there's going to be some sort of, like, an objective, and you'll be
working
towards something, where it's not just kind of like an open world thing, at least from what I've seen, maybe partially, but I don't know. I don't think it'll do, like, Animal Crossing numbers, at least not, like, in terms of units sold. Just because of it's the access that you have to it via Game Pass. I mean, that's going to take a big chunk of it. I mean, I already have it preloaded because I have Game Pass, so I'm not actually going to be purchasing the game, and which is honestly kind of nice because I only keep Game Pass for, like, a few select things. And I mean, Doom was one of them. Metal Gear Solid 5 so I could finish it, which I don't even know if it's still on there at that point.
Yeah, it is.
And then Minecraft Dungeons will be one of the games that I play off of it. But yeah, I don't know. I think it'll do good numbers. I don't think it'll do Animal Crossing numbers, though.
Yeah, I definitely feel you there. And it's never going to do what Minecraft did because, one, it's not going to be quite as replayable. And, right, two, it's not going to be on phones and, you know, refrigerators and who knows where else you can play Minecraft.
That's right. Fridge gaming.
So our fourth story is, we talked about this last week, the Mafia trilogy. They had teased it right as we were recording last week. The next day, we got the official trailer and the official announcement. So here's the details. Mafia 3 Definitive Edition. It's available now. It's a free upgrade for anyone that owns Mafia 3 already. You just get upgraded to the Definitive Edition. From my understanding, Mafia 3 Definitive Edition, all it does is add all the DLC. So it's not really an improvement for anybody that already owned the season pass. But if you just own the game, now you get all the DLC for free. Now here's the meat and potatoes. Mafia 2 Definitive Edition is available now. It's a remaster, so it has all new graphics. It's, I don't know for sure, but it looks like it's pretty impressive remaster. They've upgraded the graphics quite a bit. I don't know how it compares to like Saints Row 3 remastered, but it definitely looks like a big change. And it's $30. Mafia 3 Definitive Edition is also $30. Mafia Definitive Edition, the original, this one's the interesting one. It's a full remake, not a remaster. Oh. They're totally remaking the game. Modern engine, modern graphics, modern everything. It won't even follow the same story exactly, I think they said. This one's a little pricier. It's $40, $39.99. But here's the deal. If you buy them all as the Mafia trilogy, oh wait, I forgot one detail. Mafia Definitive Edition, it doesn't come out till August 28th. So it's like the end of summer, the last remaster of the year. But it's a full remake, so it's taking more time. So if you buy it all as a trilogy, it's $60, which is $20 less than buying them individually. And if you do it digitally, you can play Mafia 2 and 3 right now, and then you get Mafia 1 when it becomes available in August. What did I say it was? August 28th. So this was interesting to me. I will say it got me to download Mafia 3. I owned a copy that I got for free. So I downloaded that to get the Definitive Edition version. I haven't yet played it because I'm currently full with Fallout 76 and Saints Row 3 remastered. But I do plan to dip into it at some point. It is a little bit of a disappointment that Mafia 3 isn't improved in any way because it was already a Xbox One X enhanced game,
right?
And I think it was anyway. And Mafia 2, you to get the free, they did offer free upgrades of Mafia 2 to the Definitive Edition, but only on Steam. So like my 360 version of Mafia 2 didn't get a free upgrade, but it those look good. But I don't know, the price seems pretty heavy to me to pay $30 for Definitive Edition that's just up res. I felt the same way about Saints Row 3. $40, I mean, even though it's impressive, I still feel like it's a little expensive for a 11-year-old, or I'm sorry, 9-year-old game. I don't know. How do you feel about all these remasters?
I mean, I don't know. The $60, I mean, okay, if you've never played them before, I think the $60, like the trilogy, I think it seems like it's a really good deal. I mean, you're getting a full remake of one game. You're getting a complete remaster of a second game. And then, I mean, there's just a third game, which is whatever. But, I mean, honestly, I only know like two people in real life who have ever actually played Mafia. And even then, Mafia is one of those games where it's a, you know how I love to watch games that I don't feel like buying on YouTube. I've never even dipped into it on YouTube either for that matter. So I wouldn't say it's, I don't know, it maybe I'm discounting it. I don't know. I've just never really had much of an interest in it for whatever reason. I don't know why. I couldn't tell you. I think there was just always other games on my mind. Depending on how long all this stuff lasts, I might end up buying it. I don't know. We'll see. Probably not, though.
Yeah.
But it seems still it's really hard for to a completely remade game.
There's so many open world games, and I know that these are...
Game. Yeah.
Yeah, these are, you know, double A. There are some rough edges.
Yeah.
The stories are usually pretty good, but some of the gameplays can be hit or miss. Decent games, though. Right. I mean, I've played 2 and 3 at least a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe with the remake of the first one and the remaster of the second one, that'll kind of change a little bit. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm most interested about the first one because I never played that. Yeah. It never came to Xbox and I didn't have it on PC back then. And so a full remaster, if that one turns out well, that one could be really, really interesting. So I'll check that out in August, but by then it'll be so close with all the big fall games and stuff that got delayed from coronavirus that who knows what we'll be playing by then. So number five is a minor update about Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Their Ubisoft producer, Julien Laferriere. I'm so bad with French names and all the Ubisoft employees are French. I apologize for my butchering Laferriere.
That would assume.
So he did an interview with a YouTuber and someone translated it on Reddit and that's where I picked it up. He basically said that in terms of the size of the map, Assassin's Creed Odyssey is going to be bigger. He said also that they basically have created the whole country of England and a good part of Norway, which I think is an exaggeration because there's no way they did the entirety of England.
I was kind of like scrolling down a little bit and like reading more about this and I was like, man, they're like, it's bigger than Odyssey. And I was like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Odyssey big.
I know. I think the map's going to be bigger, but we talked about it last week or the week before in the news that they said the game is going to have less fat because they heard feedback from players that there was stuff in Odyssey that kind of felt like filler that was just making the game artificially longer.
Right.
So if the game world is bigger, but all the stuff that's in it is actually meaty content that doesn't feel like it wastes your time and maybe the game's a little bit shorter in length.
Spoiler, it's not going to.
I know.
It's like impossible. Like, honestly, it's like truly impossible. You can render the whole game world, but I feel like it's like just not quite possible for you to like add radiant. I'm using a Todd Howard quote, radiant AI, about like having all this stuff going on. Like Red Dead is good, but even Red Dead, there are times where I'm just like, man, I've been riding my horse around for like 30 minutes and like nothing has happened.
Yeah,
which, I don't know. Maybe it's like too much like real life, because not everybody's life is an action movie, I guess. So it's like you can't just expect things to be happening all the time. But I don't know. It just doesn't seem like we're there quite yet for it to be like actual meaty content, like you said.
Yeah, it's funny when I was playing Saints Row 3 Remastered today. By comparison, after playing Assassin's Creed Origins for like a month, the map is so much smaller. Like you could drive to one side of the city to the other, and like 10 minutes if you take the right highways, and versus Assassin's Creed Origins on my horse, I'd be riding for, you know, 30, 45 minutes to get from one corner at the top all the way to one corner at the bottom. Oh my gosh. There's a guy on YouTube that does that. He rides from one edge of the map to the other. I think he walks with no running allowed. And so you can go and look at the length of every YouTube video and see how long it took him to walk from one corner to the other. I can only imagine that guy doing some of these bigger Assassin's Creed games. Oh, it would take forever. I bet it's easily over an hour, probably multiple hours to walk from one side to the other in the last two Assassin's Creed games.
Right.
I like the maps being big and detailed, but I think we've reached a point where maybe they're bordering on too big and they just need to fill them in more, or just do detail and not fill them in more. You know, like the level of content and value we're getting for our money with these Assassin's Creed games is pretty good. I mean, I love everything they're doing so far with this new one, so I don't really know that I have any more.
I guess maybe
add.
It's like a be careful what you wish for kind of thing. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
On one hand, I like having like a really large, like almost two scale map where it's like there's so many places like you can go that are like completely different. And that's part of why I like Minecraft, because it's like there's like so many different places and like biomes or whatever. Like in this, it's like doing like going to England and Norway and wherever the heck else it appears though we might be, maybe the entire freaking western coast of Europe, I don't know, would be cool. But it's like at the same time, it's like I also kind of want something like kind of like a little bit more like self-contained, when like inside of a smaller area where there's just like so much like more going on and it feels like more alive. That would make more sense in like a game that's like set in like a city, like the old Assassin's Creed games were. They're all like set in like cities, so it's like it always felt like, yeah, like alive and like that there was stuff going on, even though it was like a smaller area. It's like there was more to do inside of it because they're cities, and so it's like I don't know, because it was more self-contained, like walking around, like felt like real, like inside of a, like a huge city. Cause it's like for you to walk to one part of a city to another part of a city, like New York City, for example, would take a while, but I mean, it wouldn't take forever though. And so I don't know. I guess it makes sense with like as it being like a timepiece. There's going to be less civilization, I guess you could say. But yeah, I mean, at the same time, true. There isn't. I don't know. So, or that there is still civilization that's going on. I don't know. I mean, I'm still going to play this regardless. I already know that much. Like it'll take a lot to sway me from buying the new Assassin's Creed when it comes out.
Yeah. You just reminded me. So one of my pet peeves in games is in large games with big sprawling maps. I really like the feature to be able to filter the icons on my map to see just certain types.
Yep.
Let's say I only want to see crafting stations or I only want to see home bases.
Didn't Spencer complain about that in Syndicate, or you complained about it recently?
Well, that's what I was going to say right now is like Assassin's Creed Origins. You only have the option to show everything. Or uncompleted things.
You can turn off the photos. The photos is kind of annoying. I've always.
I appreciate you can turn that off, but the fact that I can't filter for just side missions or just main missions, whereas you could do that in previous Assassin's Creed games.
I'm pretty sure you can do it in Odyssey too.
Maybe I haven't gotten there yet.
I haven't actually really thought about it.
The reason I bring it up is you can't do any filtering of the map on Fallout 76. You have to scan it with your eyes, and sometimes once you start to unlock everything. There's a lot of icons and they're pretty well spaced out. So you can, but like the fact that I have to hunt and pick with my eyes and there's no text, you have to hover over each icon to get the text. So like if you're looking for a named location that you don't remember where it is, you could be looking around for that icon for quite a while. And it's always just faster to Google it. And then, oh, okay. That's the icon I'm looking for. I'll go search this area.
Definitely. Like there, I think I ran into something similar in Odyssey. Like I'm pretty sure there's a mission that I've been trying to do that I can't find it on the map, even when I like turn everything else off. So I don't know if it's bugged or what, but it's kind of annoying. Hmm.
Okay, so I got one more main story in the news this week. So the Embracer Group, they're the parent company of Deep Silver and THQ Nordic. In their financial earnings call, they said they have 118 games in development. 69 of those are unannounced. But the real meat to this news is they said their first AAA game release since Metro Exodus will come out next fiscal year, which starts April 1st, 2021. So we basically know we're not going to get anything big in AAA from them until April of next year, which would include a potential Saints Row sequel. So for me and Spencer, that's when that potentially could come, although I think it might be, I guess that would be reasonable. And who knows what else, because they own so much IP, who knows what else they're working on. But if you look at the stuff they're releasing now, it's mostly AA or indie stuff or remasters, a lot of remasters. So, okay, let's talk some quick hits. First quick hit, Fallout 76. They're adding in their next update 20, they're going to be adding seasons to the game, much like season passes with Fortnite or Call of Duty, except for the season pass will be free. It's going to be 100 levels. Each one unlocks, you know, cosmetics, same as most other season passes. They're planning for 4 seasons per year and each one lasting 10 weeks with a short break before the next one begins. So you might be thinking, well, season passes, those usually cost money. What's the catch? They could charge money for these later, but they say they're not going to so far. The thing is, the way that I guess they're monetizing it is if you want to, you can use caps to buy additional levels and or you could use caps that you earned in game, or you could buy those with microtransactions. So I'm sure they'll have some people, the whales, that'll, you know, just buy a ton of caps and buy the whole season pass all the way up to 100 to get all the cosmetics. And, you know, I guess that's fair as long as it's only cosmetic, especially if the season pass is free. This could be a great system if the season pass is free, because then you just unlock things by playing the game. So I hope that is the case. I know it will be for the first season, and I hope it stays that way. Second quick hit, Respawn has announced a new studio in Vancouver that will focus solely on Apex Legends. So they're basically creating a studio in Vancouver because there's a lot of development talent up there, and there's already an EA office that they can operate out of in Vancouver for other EA studios. So that, and they kind of said they were surprised by how successful Apex Legends has been, and so the demand to keep up with new content and fresh ideas is just never ending. So they're expanding their team. Number three, a new game was announced, sort of new Super Lucky's Tale. So Super Lucky's Tale was a launch game around the launch of the Xbox One X. They're doing a new version of it called New Super Lucky's Tale, which is kind of a joke on like Mario Brothers, New Super Mario Brothers. So instead of Super Lucky, it's New Super Lucky. No release date was announced, but the quote they have for what they're changing, it says featuring all new levels, new story, cinematics, and character dialogue, tighter movement and player control, and here's the big change, a fully rotating 3D camera. So the existing game had a fixed camera that would kind of move and sway based on where your character was positioned, which if you're a gamer of modern era, you're probably used to having a camera that you can control fully. So it kind of was off-putting to have the system define where your camera was when I played it. So I think that's a welcome change. I played a little bit of this game. It's a character platformer, so it's something that I would definitely play with my kids in the future when they're old enough, but I don't know that it's for me.
So you got a little while before that happens.
Hey, we got to indoctrinate them early. They got to be gamers from the start. I've got a
gamer girls.
Super Nintendo Classic. Yeah. At least one of them is going to be a gamer. Otherwise, their dad's going to be real sad.
Yeah, gaming, I feel like, is going to be part of how people do stuff, I feel like.
Well, plus they're going to see their dad podcasting every week, and I don't know. It'll probably happen.
Man, dude, that'll be crazy if we're still doing this like that long from now.
Hopefully it's cathartic, that'd be, you know, cool. Just to thoughts about video games every week.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's nice. I mean, even if we aren't doing a podcast, depending on how far away from each other, I'm sure we'll still video chat or whatever. Get my walker out.
Yeah, it's interesting. So we used to have everybody come over to my house to record this every week, and we started doing it remotely through a digital podcasting service. And
I mean, we had talked about doing it remotely for a while, even before quarantine. COVID-19 kind of like forced our hand.
Yeah, although I will say we were having some problems with acoustics causing echo on the mics.
Still never noticed that.
Well, some episodes were worse than others. If you go back, I did my best to try and eliminate it, but there were a few episodes where the sound quality was just not acceptable. And I had just bought new mics when COVID-19 happened that were better for the sound environment in which we record in. And now everything's changed. And actually, the sound quality is even better doing it this way. So might as well just continue it. Plus, Spencer's getting married and moving about an hour away. So not really going to make him drive 2 hours to record a podcast every weekend. So,
yeah, and I mean, I'll probably be moving soon, too. I don't know where yet, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, are you going to move far away? No,
I'll probably still be in Indiana. I'll still be in central Indy, probably. But who knows where.
The final quick hit I have this week is, it feels like I'm doing this every week. It's like an update on the digital events that are replacing E3. So the two new ones are Games Radar is doing their own. So IGN, GameSpot, and now Games Radar, each doing their own
show. Games Radar used to be my jam back in the day for like cheat codes.
Interesting. Yeah, I used Cheat Code Central back in the day, and GameFAQs, of course.
But no, Games Radar, for whatever reason, was what I used for cheat codes. For whatever they had a whole cheat code section, and that's what I would always use.
So they're calling it the Future Games Show, and it's going to be June 6th at 5:30 p.m.
Really
Eastern.
Really boring.
Yeah, what's interesting about theirs is it's really early. Like all the other ones have pushed back, and they're either
trying to get the
June or July.
Everybody.
Yeah, makes me wonder if they're actually going to get any. You know, big names or any big
maybe
reveals.
They haven't, and that's why they're going so early.
Yeah,
because June 6th,
I mean, I just can't imagine
like a week and a half away.
Like, if you're a rock star, you're not going to reveal Grand Theft Auto 6 on this show, obviously. Mm,
maybe
like,
if it's Bethesda, they'll release Elder Scrolls 6 details. No. I was just talking with Spencer about that today. There, we saw real quick aside. There was like a tweet that somebody was on. Because you know how in Oblivion, you're in the third era. You're in like third, like 3E. It's like 300 or 400 something. Spencer would probably correct me. I'm sure I'm really wrong. And this person was on, they were in the third era, the year 106,392 or something. And I was just like, holy crap. That is so much in-game time. Like, that's ridiculous. Because think about Skyrim takes place, I think, like, what, 200 years after the Oblivion Crisis? So, or like 300 years? So it's like this dude has a, like 106,000 years or whatever on like one game save. And it was like the top reply was 106,000 years in the future and we still haven't heard anything about Elder Scrolls 6 yet. I was like, man, that ain't the truth. Oh, man.
Yeah. It'll be 2 years before we hear about Starfield and then another four till we hear about
Spencer was like, I'm going to be in my 30s before I'll play Elder Scrolls 6. And I'm like, dude, don't say that. Like, it's like, I know it's true, but like, don't, we don't want to talk about it.
He's absolutely going to be in his 30s.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be in my 40s.
Yeah. I'll be in my late 20s probably.
No, you're going to be 32.
Maybe I will. I mean, I'm only 24, so. So I still got, I mean, I'll be,
I'm saying 6 years
soon, but
I'm saying, yeah. 6 years. Yeah. You're going to be 30.
Man, that is weird to think about.
So the other event is Gamescom. They announced the new dates now that they're going to be a digital event. It's August 27th through 30th. So they're kind of ending the summer, and also they're going to be the official end of, what do you call it? Jeff Keighley's, Summer Game Fest is going to end with Gamescom. Opening Night Live, which is like the event that he does that kicks off Gamescom on August 27th. So that's kind of like the end of, I assume, what's going to be announcement season. We basically got from beginning of June till the end of August. And that 3 month period is where all these events and announcements are happening. And a lot of them overlap. So,
right.
You know what? There actually was two other things that were announced that I thought I threw in here, but I'm not seeing them. Jeff Keighley's thing, he announced two dates where he's going to have two mini shows where he's partnering with a couple publishers, big and small, to do announcements. There was one event in June and one event in July. I can't remember the actual dates. I think one of them was the 11th. But so we'll catch up with that when it gets closer, and we'll obviously cover any news that gets announced. So lastly, Game Pass games. So all the games that are coming are available now, except for Minecraft Dungeons.
Yeah, I was going to say, Minecraft Dungeons, as to why you put that on there.
Well, like, it's coming next week.
Yet. Yeah, it'll be out,
but
maybe before we record the next episode or like come out.
I can't remember
like,
if
right
it's Tuesday or Friday.
I don't know.
And anyway, the stuff that's available now that's been added is Alan Wake, City Skylines, and Golf with Friends. City Skylines is interesting because it used to be in Game Pass. They pulled it out, and now they put it back in.
A bunch of YouTube videos of like City Skylines. There was this dude that I followed like on YouTube for like a good like few months because he like never posted like ever, but he always would. Like, he was really good at like doing like what they call a like, detailing or whatever, where it's like you make like really cool looking cities and stuff. And it's like basically, just like city planning and civil engineering or whatever, which is, I mean, it's really cool to watch. I don't know. I might actually download it once we're done here, just because I always kind of wanted to play it. I don't know how it'll act on Xbox versus computer.
It holds up pretty well.
Does it?
Cause I have
it
on PC.
I was just saying like in terms of like controller usage.
No, that's what I'm saying. I have it on PC and I switched over to try it on Game Pass and it was just as playable.
Oh, okay, cool.
The UI is pretty good.
I might actually, it'll give me something to do besides play old games.
I really like that game. Like, I was super disappointed when the new SimCity in, what was it, 2010, was an online-only game and it kind of bombed and the city's work size was really small. I was a huge SimCity nerd when I was a kid. SimCity 2, SimCity 3000, or actually, I got that backwards. SimCity 2000 and SimCity 3. Loved those games. I played a little less of SimCity 4, and then when the new one came out, I was super mad that it was not a great game. But City Skylines totally fills that void. It's amazing. I love that game so much. Okay, and so Games with Gold have not been announced for June yet. I checked. Minecraft Dungeons does come out on Tuesday, so Spencer and I will... Well, Spencer, I don't think, is going to play it, but he'll be playing Saints Row, and I'll be playing Minecraft Dungeons, and we'll talk about that next week. I'm really interested to get into Minecraft Dungeons. Everybody that's played it that I know has said that it's really interesting and really cool.
I'm excited.
I'm really hoping that... Oh, and when you get back, me and you are going to play co-op, right?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. I'll be wanting to play it because I've been without like real technology for like a week straight. And there'll be a couple days in between where I'm not going to be out camping, where I'll basically be like replenishing my supplies. But yep.
Yeah. I am curious how many people on my friends list will play it. I have a lot of people that have Game Pass on my friends list, but you're the only person I know for sure is going to play it.
Yeah, oh yeah, dude, 100%. Yeah, as soon as I get back, I'm loading up my Xbox and not leaving my room.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, let's get out of here. You can go download City Skylines and see if my recommendation is good.
Yeah.
I still say you need to download Rage 2 off Game Pass. I swear you will like it. It is going to be your jam.
I'm the only person at my apartment. Both of my roommates are gone until like next Tuesday or Monday. So I'm basically home alone for like 3 days straight.
Well, you could buy Saints Row 3 Remastered and do co-op campaign with me.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to buy it though. That's the thing. I feel like I should get a discount for like, I should like tweet at like THQ Nordic or whatever and be like, hey, I own this on 360. Can you give me a discount? I'd buy it for like 15. They'd be like, no. Like, shut up. Even though I'm pretty sure I bought like every single DLC for it too. I'm like, come on, give me something. Whatever.
Hey, I own Saints Row 1, 2, 3, 4 Capitalism. And Got Out of Hell and didn't end up playing any of them. So I've given them quite a bit of money. But, you know, you should support Volition. They're the only studio within like 200 miles of where we live. They're just an hour and a half, 2 hours west of here. I've actually been to their studio. It's really cool. And
didn't you apply to work there or something?
I did. I mean, it was. I forget the position that I applied for.
You are always applying for like those like little like or like the work from home game positions or whatever.
Well, so my profession and my education are in marketing, and so video game marketing is really tough because a lot of them outsource it, or the first party games they have in house marketing, right? So you either got to work at PlayStation or you got to work at Microsoft, and those are in house jobs where you got to move to Seattle or. I forget where PlayStation's headquarters is now. But there are some PR jobs that are remote.
That would be cool.
Right now, I guess I am in the market a little bit because I'm furloughed from my day job.
Yeah.
So
I'm basically a full-time podcaster right now.
Yeah. Both you and I are living the COVID-19 employment
living
life.
The gamer boy dreams right now.
Well, except for the not having a paycheck part.
Right. Well, and you also have kids and a dog you have to worry about. I have none of these things. So I am now free. I am free to what is, I always mention this tweet. It was like somebody was saying that like feminism was like a ploy by the patriarchy so that men could take their final form as stay at home gamers because the women will be doing all the real work. Basically just like gender roles switched where men are at home all the time playing video games and doing all of the stay at home stuff. And I'm man, that is me right now. Playing video games and doing the dishes and doing my laundry.
Well, I mean, obviously if no one had to worry about the stress of providing for themselves, we could all just enjoy life. But
yeah,
that's what
I don't
life
know,
is.
I don't have to right now. I have enough money banked up. Just a minor flex. Oh.
Yeah, well, I mean, being single with little responsibilities.
Being a young single guy with no kids or anything is treated
me well.
No mortgage,
no car payment, no medical issues, no children,
no pets. I might as well have
a
car payment. I've put so much money into mine recently, but I digress. We digress.
Yeah, we're way off the mark here. And without Spencer here to keep us on the rails.
Yeah, yeah, somebody has to like keep me in check. And that like usually Spencer, you guys used to going back and forth is what keeps me from going off the rails.
So what's it going to take to get you to try Rage 2?
I mean, if it's on Game Pass, I guess there's nothing really stopping me. I'll just install it tonight. And then if I feel like playing it, maybe I'll play it like tomorrow or something.
I feel a sense of accomplishment when you take my game recommendations and actually try them. Even if you hate it and uninstall it, that's fine.
I feel like it's really stupid because it's like, I do this all the time. Well, I wouldn't say I do it all the time, mainly because I don't know if people actually do it, but it's like when people like give me like show recommendations or like game recommendations, like, and they're like, I really like this. I feel like it's like really disingenuous for me to just be like, oh, cool. Yeah. It's like, I'll check that out. Like that's what like people always do. And I feel like that's like when I have like friends who are like really passionate about like a show or a game that they play, then I mean, I might as well check it out. Especially right now, since I have nothing better to do. So it's like I feel like I owe it at least partially to at least check it out. I've started shows before. I'm just like, well, it didn't quite take off for me, so I stopped watching it. And they're like, hey, well, at least you checked it out.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I'm trying to help you get the most of your Game Pass so you can fill your COVID-19 time with stuff that doesn't cost money.
Because I didn't get like the $1 a month Game Pass thing or whatever because I was stupid. I'm paying like the full 15, so it's like I might as well get my money's worth out of it.
A lot of good stuff in Game Pass. All
right. It's like the, I think Game Pass is like the most I pay monthly for anything, like other than like my gym membership, which has technically been on hold anyway, so I haven't even been paying for that because they haven't been open. So hopefully soon I need to go to the gym. Been too long.
Yeah.
We digress again. Well, we should probably do our that's outros.
It. Yeah, that's it this week. My name is Tim Shelton. Wait a second. Now I'm lost. I don't even know where we are anymore. I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton, where I rant about video games exclusively because of COVID-19.
He just exists as Tim Shelton. He thinks, at least, he's Tim Shelton.
Yeah, it was like, I'm Ron Burgundy, on the prompter, and I was like, I'm Tim Shelton?
All right. I mean, I think I'm Gus Harden, and I think you can follow me on Twitter at Gus_Harden. That might still be me. I don't know. Who am I anymore? And then you can follow me on Xbox Live or Mixer, Larry Tissoni. Don't ask me how to spell it. You can figure it out yourself.
I mean, play Mass Effect, and then you'll know how to spell Tissoni.
Yep.
Okay. See you next week.
New episodes of Multiform post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find us and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your podcast app of choice.